What thinking man can keep from exclaiming, "My Lord and my God"? Come and let's visit the land into which this king was born. Come and together let's worship the king.
Oh, come to the place where the holy child is laid. Oh, come, let us see the newborn king. For he is our God and greatly to be praised. Come, let us worship the king. Come, let us worship the king. Jesus the Savior is born, for the Lord will reign over all the earth. Worship the King. Jesus the Savior is born, for the Lord is great and greatly to be praised in all the earth. Let us worship the King. The Savior has come, let all the nations sing. The mountains ring out with angelic praise. The heavens rejoice, for the earth receives her King. Come, let us worship the King. Come, let us worship the King. Jesus the Savior is born, for the Lord will reign over all the earth. Come, let us worship the King. Jesus the Savior is born.
The Old Testament prophets spoke of his birth frequently. The prophet Isaiah told us that a time would come when a virgin would conceive and bring forth a son, and they would call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. The prophet Isaiah in chapter 9, verses 6 and 7 tells us that a son would be born. His name would be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there would be no end upon the throne of David to order it and to establish it with judgment and justice henceforth even forever. The prophet Micah even pinpointed the very place that this Christ child, the King, would be born. He picked the town of Bethlehem in chapter 5 and verse 2 of Micah when he wrote, "But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judean villages, yet out of you shall come forth he who shall be a ruler unto me, whose goings forth have been from of old, even from everlasting." Well, the morning for Bethlehem had finally arrived.
Lift up your heads, no need to mourn. His hand is stretched out still. For unto us a child is born, his promise to fulfill. child that was born there has come to set us free. Bethlehem sunrise, I can see him in your eyes. For the child that was born there, his spirit never dies. His star will never grow dim, and it's a brand new dawn, a new Jerusalem, and we will reign, we will reign with him. Child that was born there has come to set us free. Bethlehem sunrise, I can see him in your eyes. For the child that was born, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and he will come again. What
an unusual childhood he lived. At the age of 12, he confounded the great teachers of Israel, the doctors of the law, by his wisdom. He continued to increase in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. At the age of 30, he began his public ministry, and for the next 3 years and some months, he astounded the multitudes in Israel by his miracles and by his teaching. He healed every kind of sickness and every kind of disease among the people. He even raised the dead. The multitudes accepted him and wanted to make him their king. But the religious leaders, perhaps motivated by jealousy, demanded his death. And before long, the tide of public opinion turned against him, and at the scene of his arrest and trial, we hear the multitudes as they cry out, "Crucify him, crucify him." And they led him away through the Via Dolorosa to be crucified.
Jerusalem that day, the soldiers tried to clear the narrow streets, but the crowd pressed in to see the man condemned to die on Calvary. He was bleeding from a beating, there were stripes upon his back, and he wore a crown of thorns upon his head. And he bore with every step the scorn of those who cried out for his death. Down the Via Dolorosa, called the way of suffering, like a lamb came the Messiah, Christ the King. But he chose to walk that road out of his love for you and me. Down the Via Dolorosa, all the way to Calvary. Via Dolorosa, triste día en Jerusalén, los soldados le abrían paso a Jesús, mas la gente se acercaba para ver al que llevaba aquella cruz. Por la Via Dolorosa, que es la vía del dolor, como veja vino Cristo, Rey Señor, y fue Él quien quiso ir por su amor, por ti, por mí, por la Via Dolorosa, al Calvario y a morir. The blood that would cleanse the souls of all men made its way through the heart of Jerusalem. Down the Via Dolorosa, called the way of suffering, like a lamb came the Messiah, Christ the King. But he chose to walk that road out of his love for you and me. Down the Via Dolorosa, all the way to Calvary.
His followers, now out of fear, stood back. They could only watch and wonder in amazement at how such a beautiful life could end in such a tragic manner. Listen as two of his followers, the Apostle Peter, who said, though all others will deny you, that I won't, Master, I'll stay with you to the end. And the woman at the well, as they watch, as he carries that cross, his cross, to Calvary, Golgotha, where he was crucified.
I said that I would die for him. I really thought I could. But there I was denying him. I never thought I would. I failed the Lord, I've let him down after all he's done for me. And there he's going up a hill called Calvary. Was it meant for me? Calvary, Calvary. Is that my cross he's taking to Calvary?
He found me in my sin and told me, go and sin no more. it meant for him? Was it meant for me? My cross he's taking to Calvary. Oh, Calvary, Calvary. Was it meant for him, or was it meant for me? Calvary, oh, Calvary. Is that my cross he's taking to Calvary? Is that my cross he's taking to Calvary?
He was taken down from the cross and he was placed in a borrowed tomb. On the first day of the week, Sunday morning, some of his followers came early to the tomb. And lo, to their amazement, they discovered that the body of Jesus was not there. And as they entered the tomb, an angel in white apparel appeared to them and said, "Fear not, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, he is risen, even as he said. Now come and see the place where the Lord lay, and then go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen indeed and will appear before you in Galilee." And appear he did. For the next 40 days he appeared to his disciples and showed himself to be alive by many infallible proofs, speaking of things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Can you imagine the feelings of the disciples, the emotions, as they now realize and are totally convinced that their Lord is alive? The one who suffered and died for them is now risen, and their lives once again have purpose and meaning. It was a time when they expressed their love to him.
Thorns on thy brow.
Well, Jesus continued to and he commissioned them to go out into all the world and proclaim the gospel to every person. And today he is still commissioning his followers to go and to become ambassadors for him. And we, like him, must be moved as we see downtrodden people who are helpless. When Jesus saw the multitudes, Matthew's gospel tells us, he was moved with compassion towards them because they fainted, were scattered abroad like sheep without a shepherd. He said, "The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest." You see, people really do need the Lord.
Every day they pass me by, I can see it in their eyes. Empty people filled with care, headed who knows where. On they go through private pain, living fear to fear. Laughter hides their silent cries, only Jesus hears. People need the Lord. People need the Lord. At the end broken dreams, he's the open door. People need the Lord. People need the Lord. When will we realize people need the Lord? Through his love our hearts can bring this message in. Through his love our hearts can bring all the grief they bear. They must hear the words of life only we can share. People need the Lord. People need the Lord. At the end broken dreams, he's the open door. People need the Lord. People need the Lord. When will we realize that we must give our
Jesus Christ is still using men and women today who are willing to be changed, conformed to his image. Paul says, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is a good and acceptable and perfect will of God. The amazing thing is that he has chosen vessels of clay through which to carry this message to the world. Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 7, we have this glorious message in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of ourselves. Lord, make me a vessel of honor.
A vessel of honor for God. A vessel of honor for God. Sanctified, holy soul, might be a vessel of honor for God. A vessel.
Jesus told the disciples before he left that they would do greater works than he had ever done on earth, greater works in kind and extent, because he was going to the Father and he would impart his Spirit, which he did, and empower them to go and to share this glorious good news with the entire world. As Griffith Thomas writes in one of his commentaries, greater works indeed have been done and are being done than even Jesus did in his day. More is being done today through the gospel of Jesus Christ to redeem souls and change lives and transform characters, exalt ideals, and inspire philanthropies around the world. Well, when the ministry is finished, Christ will return personally to this planet once again. It's called his second coming. And when he comes, he will establish his own kingdom. The prophets wrote of this in Isaiah 35. Isaiah could foresee the time when the eyes of the blind would be opened and the ears of the deaf would be unstopped. the lame would leap like the deer, and the tongue of the dumb would sing. In Acts 1:11, as Jesus is taken up from his disciples, two men in white apparel said, "You men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into the heavens? This same Jesus taken up from you shall so come in like manner, even as you have seen him go." John the apostle was banished to the Isle of Patmos, and from there he wrote the book of Revelation, the revelation of Jesus Christ, the revelation of Christ at the end of this age. And he said in chapter 1 and verse 7, "Behold, he's coming with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also who pierced him." And Jesus himself spoke of that glorious day as he concluded his Mount of Olives discourse, a panoramic preview of the entire age as it will unfold and as it will end. And he said, "Behold, they will see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. The day will come, and every eye shall see him. We shall behold him."
The sky shall unfold, preparing his entrance. The stars shall applaud. In all
What is it that Jesus Christ demands of each of us tonight as we face this week of remembering his death? Perhaps Napoleon, the French conqueror, put it best when he wrote, "Across the chasm of 1800 years, Jesus Christ makes a demand upon each of us that is most difficult to satisfy. For he asks for the human heart. He will have it totally and unconditionally for himself. And when that desire is finally granted, he takes all of the faculties and powers of the human mind and heart and makes it an annexation of his own empire. And time and power cannot exhaust the strength of that commitment to him." Perhaps right now in the quietness of this moment you would like to just pause and ask Jesus Christ to become your Lord and Savior if you've never done that before. And if you've done that before and you are one of his followers, maybe this is a time just to renew your commitment to him, that you might be the vessel of honor that he wants you to be. Not conformed to this world, but transformed by the renewing of your mind. This is a week when each of us should seriously reflect on where we are in life and what we want to do with our life.